Welcome back to everyone who's with us. I always like it when people continue, and it's sad to see people go, but we have a few of us and that's what counts. And so thank you for all of you. I'm not even looking at the list for attending. This is a little less formal in that we will have more room for participating and commenting. That's what makes this session so nice. We have two wonderful guests this evening. One of them I have spent a little bit of time chatting with. Deborah Kendrick came to one of the center support groups, and we talked about deafblind, hearing loss, and vision loss, and working with people in the health field. Providers. And then the year before that, I kind of summarized her book about medical personnel and vision loss and tips and tricks with that. And she definitely has some stories of how things can go a bit awry and how you can make them go better in both books. So that's Deborah Kendrick. And then we have Judy Dixon. I have a couple of Judy's books. I think I bought one of her first ones. Taking the Picture. That was really a long time ago. I've read another of her books. My speech is talking too much. They are both here. Deborah and I got this idea one night when we were just talking after she had come to our support group. And I thought, holy cow, we have never had National Braille Press, which the publisher of their books, that's who it is, do a door prize for us. Wouldn't this be cool? So we just thought it would be so wonderful. So I am going to pretty much turn the time over to them, and they can each talking. They can combine their presentations in any way they like. And if you have questions as we go along, please raise your hand. There might be a time when you can just unmute if that's the easiest thing for you to do. But we're going to just kind of play it by ear and see how this evening goes. If this is successful, we will do it again. So here we go. Take it away, ladies.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Bonnie. This is Deborah, and I'll tell you what we're going to do, and then we'll attempt to do it. That's sort of a plan, and we thought that we'd each tell you a little bit about ourselves, how we come to write, and then we'll take turns telling you about how we select what we're writing for National Braille Press and elsewhere. And then we're going to ask one another any questions that occur as we listen to what each of us are going to say. And then we hope that you and your members will have some questions for us. So that's the lay of the land as I see it. I'll just tell you very briefly about, of course, I'm a writer. I've been blind since I was 5 years old. And when I was 8 years old was when I told anyone who cared to listen that I would be a writer because what I loved to do more than anything else was read. And that hasn't changed much. Wanting to write and wanting to read are still the things that I enjoy the most. Had a long, varied and successful career writing the first things that I didn't grow up to write stories, which is what I thought. So I haven't done that yet. I mean, as a fiction. So that's maybe yet to come. But for 30 years, I wrote a newspaper column, an op-ed column that ran in the Cincinnati Enquirer, the Columbus Dispatch, and a number of other papers, was syndicated by King Features for a while. But what people hear most is that, and I've written for a number of magazines on a number of topics, but what people here will know most is that I launched a magazine on technology in 1985 called Tactic. And that was, I think, one of the ways I first met Judy, because Judy was the consumer relations officer for the Library of Congress, and we started talking, and she occasionally wrote articles for me. And when she did, I knew I didn't have to do any work on them, which was wonderful. And then in 2000, Tactic Dick and Deborah Kendrick were acquired by the American Foundation for the Blind, and that became X World. To this day, I continue to write for most issues of Access World. I'm called Senior Features Editor. And just a few months ago, we added a new writer to the team, the editorial team of Access World, who happens to be Judy Dixon. So how cool is that? So with that, and then of course, the reason I'm here is to talk about National Braille Press. So that's enough from me. And I'll turn it over to Judy, who can tell you all about Judy Dixon.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. I'm Judy Dixon, and Deborah's speaking to you, I think, from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm speaking to you from Arlington, Virginia. And I'm not a real writer. Deborah's actually a real writer, and she's been writing forever. I'm not a writer. I just happen to write things. And what I am is somebody who likes to explain things, likes to make sense out of things. And I find it very frustrating when I read documentation and it makes no sense to me. And I think I could have made more sense out of that. So I do like to write explanations. And that's kind of what I do. I've now written 15 books for National Braille Press, so maybe I am a writer. But I also am now, as Deborah said, I'm a regular contributor for Access World. I've been doing that since the spring. And I've worked at the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. I started there in 1981. I was very young. And I recently retired from there after 40 plus years. And so I'm continuing to write. And most of my books are about technology, which I love, and I'm a real techy, geeky kind of person. But I'd like to write. What I really, really want from you guys is if anybody has any ideas of a book, have you ever thought to yourself, gosh, I wish somebody'd write a book about that, whatever that is. I really, really want some book ideas. I don't know what people want to know about and are wishing, gee, I wish somebody would write a book about that. So if you have book ideas, please pass them along. And we're going to get into the topic of ideas and how we come up with them in a second here, but mostly they come from us. So that's it for the moment, and I hand it back to Deborah.
Thank you. One thing that I neglected to say is that National Braille Press is donating one copy of Judy's book, Audio Description, and one copy of my book, Navigating Healthcare. Each of those have actually much longer titles, but each of those are, they happen to be one Braille volume and available in a number of other formats. And how you determine who wins each of those books, Bonnie, is doesn't have anything to do with us. But when you're ready to claim those books for the winners, they will need to get in touch with Cassell Wilson, who is the editorial director at National Press. So I can send that information to you privately. But the winners of those books can choose whatever format that is best for them. The books are available in a number of hard copy and downloadable. So so from there, talk a little bit about the books. Judy, as she said, has written, I'm going to guess, 1,000. No, I'm just kidding. But she's a lot of books for National Braille Press.
Only 15.
And I have reviewed many of those books in Access for. It's so fun to see them in advance. I write what I'm interested in. I write about things that I care about. And so the only books I had written in the past were a series of books of jobs because I care deeply about blind people and about blind people being employed, because being employed has given great joy, and I would like to see it bring great joy to others. So back in the 90s and early 2000s, I wrote a series of books for American Foundation for the Blind called The Jobs That Matter series, but I'm not going to talk about those. I'm going to talk about more recent history with National Braille Press. Again, I write about things that I care about. So for the last 4 or 5 years, I've had a lot of medical stuff going on. I'm well now. I'm healthy. But I had a lot of very complicated medical stuff and spent a lot of time in and out of hospitals and short-term rehab and so forth. And I've also raised 3 lovely children to be lovely adults. So I had a lot of experience navigating healthcare with them. And the thing that occurred to me again and again and again is that it's a whole different ball game when you go to a doctor's office, an urgent care, a patient center, a hospital, an emergency room, when you're blind, because what those professionals are going to focus on, whether you're there for a kid's asthma attack or your own broken arm or your husband's stroke, is that you're blind. So the title of the book came to me before the book, Navigating Healthcare When All They Can See Is That You Can't. It's not a book about medicine. It's a book about how to take care of yourself in the medical environment, how to for yourself, how to get what you want and what you deserve as a patient or as the caregiver of a patient. And the other book, my 2 books for National Braille Press have been published in just within the last 2 years. The other one, again, comes from lifelong experience. My blindness is from a childhood cancer. I had extensive radiation, which began damaging my ears in my teens, and I've worn hearing aids for many, many years, but I was very secretive about it for a long time. And now I love my hearing aids and I love talking about them. I realized that my experience along the way, I had learned a lot that I wanted to share with people. So the other book that we talked about in Bonnie's group was is When Your Ears Can't Help You See. And it's, again, really a book about advocacy, how to take care of yourself, be in charge of you when you have a combined vision and hearing loss. So I think that's enough of that. I think that it would be good. Judy, why don't you start by talking about hope that somebody will win and then talk about 14 others?
Okay. The book that somebody will win is Audio Description. Let me actually give you the entire title because I have a list here of all of the books that I've written. What it is, where to find it, and how to use it. And this book is a recent book. It was published in July. And it talks about audio description, kind of a brief history and what it is and all that. But the majority of the book takes all of these major streaming services, I think there are 7, and then the devices that you might use to access them, like the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple TV, the Fire TV Stick, the Fire TV, the Roku, I actually bought all these things, and the Chromecast with Google TV. And so it takes all these things and then looks at how do you get audio description on each of these streaming services, Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus, blah, 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 all of them. So that's kind of the majority of the book. And then it talks more about other ways to find audio description on airplanes and museums and plays and all that stuff. So it kind of takes the whole gamut of audio description. And it's a how-to. I realized, and Deborah's really got me thinking about like why I write books and what I'm trying to accomplish here. And I love information. and we talk about information, and this book is you know, the how-to. How do you do it? Because this stuff is hard. I mean, I will absolutely agree with anybody who says it's hard. And it's hard, and it's hard to figure it out, and it's hard to find somebody who knows. And it's hard to find somebody who can answer your questions. And I really get it. It's hard. So I like information. My very first book that I did for, actually, probably the first book I wrote was a book called Braille into the Next Millennium, which was published by the National Library Service in 2000. Deborah, I think you contributed to that. We've contributed to each other's books and articles and magazines for the last 30-some-odd years. But the first book that I wrote for the National Braille Press was in 2008, and it was called Label It. And I love labeling things. I just label everything. I label it in Braille. I label stuff. I mean, I'm a Braille reader. I'm a lifelong blind person. And this is called Label It, Braille and Audio Strategies for Identifying Items at Home and at Work. And in those days, it was Dymo tape. And I mean, even as recently as 2008, you know, we didn't have a lot of technology to use for labeling and identifying. And in the 2008 book, I realized this because I just updated this book in 2000 and something else. 19.
Pretty recently. I think it was 19.
Yeah, well, let's see. I have it written down here. Yes, in 2020, I published a book called Identifying and Labeling Everything, Recognizing the Items in Your Life. And that's an updated version of the Label It book. But what I realized when I started working on that book, the Label It book, is I never even addressed the issue of how do you know what it is to label it? And I just, you know, it was like magic in those days. I mean, the answer is you had to have either a sighted person tell you, or, you know, somehow you knew in some other way besides some independent method of your own. And in 2020, the game had changed, because now there are all kinds of ways that we can use ourselves to identify items, to find out what they are. Everything from using our iPhone to scan it with an app like Seeing AI or a barcode reader, or, I mean, there's a zillion ways. And that's what this 2020 version of this book is all about. Do I still use Dymo tape? Yes, I do. Maybe some people don't. I don't know. I'm getting old and I like it. But I do still use Dymo tape. But I might use a scanning app to identify it, then I make a Braille label and put it on it. So I'm into labeling, and I'm into identifying things. So that was the first book in 2008. My second and third book were about apps, because in those days, in 2012, 2013, people were just getting iPhones, and we all really wanted to share with each other, you know, what apps worked, what apps were accessible. And so the second one was 21 iPhone Apps We Can't Live Without, and that was done by me and my husband, Doug Wakefield. And then the third one was Out and About, and that was about our favorite travel apps, also by myself and Doug Wakefield. And then was Get the Picture. And Get the Picture was a really, really fun book, because it was about photography. And yes, blind people can take pictures. And yes, we need to learn a little bit about what taking pictures is all about to be able to do it and do a good job. But we need to know this. And it's not just because we want to take pictures to show them off to our friends, or take vacation pictures, or pictures of sunsets. Yeah, fine. Plenty of blind people are probably doing that, and that's great. But what's really important is that we're able to take a decent picture, so that identification apps and things we want identified will know what they are. And that book was in 2014, and then it was updated. And I updated that book in what year? 2019, Capturing and Sharing the World, Taking Photos and Videos with an iPhone. Sorry, that's 2020 also. And that one is an updated version of the 2014 photography book, and talks about iPhone apps and methods. And it was fun. One section of that book, I took a bunch of pictures, and then I had a photographer actually look at them and tell me, you know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? And what kinds of things what should I think about when I'm taking pictures of things like this. So that was kind of fun. I did a book about games on the iPhone, about books, reading books with the iPhone. There's a GPS book, which was in 2017, and it's called Go Where You Want to Go. I still want to write a book called Do What You Want to Do, but I haven't done that one yet. And that's a really nice book, actually. It's still quite up to date. And then Writing Your Way is a very comprehensive book on writing, editing with the iPhone or iPad or something like that. It was in 2018, and it's still also relatively up to date. Well, actually, quite up to date. The next one was a book about Dropbox, which is not that up to date. I wouldn't recommend it. And then there was a book on getting visual assistance with an iPhone. Now you can just be friends with your friends. And I love that quote. There was the Danish guy who started Be My Eyes actually said that. And I asked him if I could use that for my title, because that just said it all about getting visual assistance. It's a book about Be My Eyes and Ira and all the other ways. It's actually plenty of other apps and some very cool ways that you can get visual assistance with an iPhone. So that was quite fun. And then there's 31 cool things you can do with your iPhone. And this is everything from there's a cool metal detector. So if you drop something metal in the grass outside, or drop a screw while you're trying to put something together, you can actually find it. And lots of other cool, fun things you can do with your iPhone. And that was very fun. So that kind of sums up what I've done for books. And are we ready for questions, or do we want to?
I thought of a couple of other things that I wanted to throw in there. Well, since we are here for National Braille Press, I realized I should do a little commercial for the magazine that National Braille Press has been doing for, I should know the number of years, and I don't. I think 1932.
Oh, gosh. It's been a long time.
It's a long time. So they have published this magazine forever that's called Our Special, and it's a magazine for blind women by blind women. And I remember reading it for a long while when I was really young, when I was first having my own home and was married and having babies. And I just remember getting this, just getting a real boost and a real positive feeling reading this magazine, because I realized I didn't have any blind friends back then, and I realized reading it that there were blind women who were doing all kinds of wonderful things that I was just learning to do or thinking about doing, and it was just really. So a year and a half or 2 years ago, National Braille Press asked me to be part of that team, and so I just wanted to do a little commercial for it. Comes out 6 times a year. It has a lot of, it's one Braille part, and it's also available as downloadable. It's edited by Dana Nichols, who is a blind writer who lives in Alabama. But it was just we announced that Kim Loftus, who some of you may know from Mystic Access, and who also writes books for National Braille Press, Kim Loftus is now going to be the co-editor. And there are a number of other blind women who write for it. So there's other columns on one's called Have Pain Will Travel, so a column on traveling, a new column on exercise, a column on dating and relationships, and a column on cooking, and on handcrafts. Can I think of that word? Crafts. Yes, that's the word. And remember, here on the East Coast where we are, it's it's a lot later, folks. So, at any rate, and my column is called Trick Insight. I'm not exactly sure what it's about. It's sort of about family, but it's kind of a throwback to the op-ed columns that I did for the newspaper. But I write about things that I care about them as a blind woman, so I figure other blind women will too. And so far, that's been going pretty well. So I just wanted to mention that. It's $15 a year, and I recommend people check it out. So, and then another thing, and I wanted to say, just to add to, if people listen to the litany of books that Judy has done, and thought, well, good grief, how do you pick? I thought, well, I'll weigh in and give you my two cents. I love Judy's Label It book, the old one and the new one. My life is very, very Braille-centric. If it doesn't have Braille on it, then it doesn't have much value. But I'm not as organized, Judy. And so I'm reading something that sort of helps me pull myself together, you know, gives me ideas on how to go about getting everything labeled. So that's one that I would strongly recommend. And the audio description book is just so needed, because audio description is so, it's so wonderful. I used to watch a lot of TV when I was younger, and I stopped because it got too hard to follow it. And since all of this audio description that's been added to all the streaming services in the last 4 or 5 years, become a big TV watcher again. And it's really fun, because everybody, it's such a part of pop culture. Everybody is talking about the shows that are, you know, everybody's talking about Grace and Frankie and Ted Lasso and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and The Morning Show. Everybody's talking about those shows, and now I'm watching them too, and better still, I'm really watching them by myself and not missing anything because there's audio description. And so it's, I actually have these audio description book sitting on my coffee table right now, so that when I am trying to remember how to do a certain thing with one of the streaming services, I can pick it up and check it out. So, yeah. So why don't we throw it out to questions that any of you have about our books, about writing, about National Braille Press. One more disclosure I probably should say about myself is I keep forgetting this about myself. I am, think of myself 24/7 as a writer, but I do work part-time for NLS in the, doing tech support for Bard. So Judy and I talk a lot about Bard. So anyway, there you are. Give us some questions.
Hi, says Bonnie. So this is so great. I think I have about 4 of your books, Judy, and I have both of your books, Deborah. I do. I haven't read them all. I buy these books when National Braille Press comes out with their catalog. I just get so excited, and I start looking at them, and then I buy them, and I get so busy, I don't get to reading them. And it's horrible. I started looking at the books on my bookshelf. I just need to clear off another shelf so I can put more Braille books, because I think I'm more likely to read Braille. If I put them on the computer, then I just like whiz through them in, about 20 minutes, and I just kind of just with Jaws. But if I read it in Braille, I probably get more out of it. But the Label It book was like one of my favorite. Is that what it was called? Label It?
Yeah. Yes. That was the first one.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and I need to look at the second one about labeling, because I teach clients a lot of those techniques with like Way Around. I love the Way Around.
Yeah, there's Way Around is covered in that second book.
Yeah, and then and I could ask you a few questions about a couple of them, but I won't take the time now about a couple of the procedures. But I just want to make sure there's not any questions here. So the one thing I want to make sure everyone knows is you do not have to be a Braille reader to use these books, because when we say formats, we mean it could be a Word document. That means that you would get it as a download, and then you would be able to put it in your folder, whichever one. And then it has does it have the links built in on the Word document? It seems like it does.
Bonnie, I neglected to say, both of my books, Navigating Healthcare, When All They Can See That You Can't, and When Your Ears Can't Help You See, they're both also available in print.
Oh, okay.
National Braille Press.
No, regular print or large print? I guess, large print is definitely helpful.
Well, you know, Bonnie, I can't see it. Like,
well, come on, you should know that. You should have it both on your shelf.
I think it's large print.
I think it is too, as I recall.
I know my first Label It book was in large print. And actually the print version, I wrote a separate chapter in that book called When You're Labeling for Others. And it was a chapter for sighted people who are making labels for blind people. And but that was in the print version of the original label book. The second Label It book, which was done in 2020, is not. I didn't do anything extra for that one.
Well, I definitely remember some of the techniques from there. Not that I've used them all, but I like the idea. I'm just going to throw this one out because it was so much fun. the idea of putting your t-shirts each in a different bag. And then
I do, and I still do that. I actually have them in file folders, like accordion file folders. My t-shirts that have words. I want to know what the words I'm wearing.
Absolutely. Well, and then the other thing I thought of was when you, like I have some supplements and I store them ahead of time, like I get a few bottles. So I have these little silky bags that I bought on Amazon, so I wouldn't be using plastic. And I just put a card in there because you can read
through. Oh, right. You read through the card. Through the bag, yeah. Yep. You can read through Ziploc and anything. I mean, it's.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want you to know, Judy, that I spent some time with you a few months ago, and I said, I've been wanting to see you do those file.
Oh, right, yes.
But I now have a shelf of t-shirts and file holders.
You're
really
breaking,
good idea.
You're breaking up a bit, Deborah.
You're sounding like you're very slow computer.
Yeah, you're breaking up pretty badly, actually, now.
Okay, I was afraid that might happen. Is it any better?
Yes, it is a bit better, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It started.
Yeah, I started getting that message. Your internet is unstable.
And it's acting up again. So you'll know. So surely there's someone with a question.
I believe
question.
Deborah Williams had a question. Her hand was raised. She lowered it, but
okay. Deborah,
and you know what?
Somebody raised her hand.
Yeah. Deborah Williams, just FYI, Michael, she said there were a couple times she had questions, and I don't know how it was overlooked. But anyway, good luck. I mean, you're doing good. So, Deborah, unmute yourself.
There she is.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Hey, I like a lot of the books that you mentioned, and I would love to get quite a few of those. I do a lot of labeling as well. And how do I obtain those books? How can I get those?
The books are available from National Braille Press. Actually, Label It, my original Label It 2008 book, is available as an audiobook from the National Library Service. But that's the only one that's on BARD. All the others are available. Well, the ones that are still available, some of the older ones aren't available anymore, but a lot of them are still available from National Braille Press.
And it's nbp.org, National Braille Press, with the letters, NBP.
NBP.org?
Yes, and you can call them as well. I have their 677 number in my contacts that I can send you. Is there an 800? There is an 800, right?
There is.
Yeah, it's 800-548-something.
I can look it up and tell you.
Yeah, and I'll write it down here. And Debbie
and I found out from another group that I spoke to in Colorado. I guess my books are available on their on cartridges, audio talking book cartridges through Interlibrary Loan. I don't know anything about that, but I know that they are.
Oh,
but I would encourage people.
From where, Deborah? Do you know?
Yeah. Because National Braille Press is a nonprofit to the production of, and when you buy their books, you're helping to support Braille. We don't get paid any kind of royalties or anything, so we aren't promoting the book because we get money from them because that.
The National Braille Press phone number is 800-548-7323, which is Reed.
Why couldn't I remember that?
So it's 800-548-READ.
Thank you.
Yes.
800. Okay. 548. Tell me those last four numbers. I'm horrible at
them. 7323.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I will send that out.
And the one volume books are $12, and the two volume books are $20. So they're not very expensive.
Okay.
I need to read your writing book. I have that. And I need to read your do anything book.
The writing book is intense. I mean, it's got a lot. It's more of a reference book than a book you just sit down and read. It's a book you'd look things up in. Oh, you look things up in it. I'll think about, how do I do that on a Bluetooth keyboard? Oh, wait a minute. I talked about that in my writing book, and I go look stuff up.
Braille keyboards as well?
Yes. Yes. There's a whole,
That's my next step in life. Yep, I've got to start using Braille.
There's a whole section on Braille displays and all the keystrokes that the Braille display keys that you use for it. And it's a pretty, I like that book. It's a book I would really like to have.
Well, thank you.
So what we want to do, you guys, is we want to make sure that the people, so we have two books that will be given away from National Braille Press, and we want to make sure that the people who get them are people who really, really want them. We don't want them to just go to anyone and then not get used. So please either raise your hand and tell us you're interested. Michael, do you have any other ideas on how we can make that happen?
Right. We'll do one at a time, and then you raise your hand. If you're interested in that book, and then we will, depending on what numbers we get, 5, 10, 7, whatever we get, we will do a random number generator and give it away to someone who has their hands raised specifically for that book, so we make sure that they really go to someone who really wants the content. So if you're ready to do that, we could do Deborah's book first.
I would say, in the case of my book, if you have already read it and you'd like to give the copy to someone.
If you already have the book, then let someone else enjoy that and benefit from it.
So. Yeah, that would be an excellent idea. So how many do we have on the line right now?
16.
We're down at 13. It's just dropped 13. A little bit. I think Zoom's acting up, but...
people are leaving.
Yeah.
We did have up to, 20-something today?
Yeah, we had about 24, 25. But some of them were some of the state people that were on.
Yes, the state
coworkers as well.
So, does anyone have any question about? I mean, if you have a question about something that you heard us talk about in one of these books, heard them talk about, you're welcome to ask it. It might, spark more interest or spur you on to want to read it more.
Well, I'm going to throw Judy, as said, she was looking for ideas, and I wondered, you mentioned it briefly, maybe someone else is covering this, but just the topic of exercise and accessibility
I forgot. Yes, that actually is the latest book. Called I didn't add it to my list. It's called Your Personal Path to Fitness. Mm-hmm. And I co-authored it was finished in August, so it'll be published in late October, just in the next week or so. And it's a book that I co-authored with Bonnie O'Day, who's a very knowledgeable fitness person. Yeah. And this book has sections on fitness activities with the apps you can do with your iPhone, on skills you can do with a smart speaker with both Alexa and Google. It has I knew you'd do that. I know. I don't know that one. Mine said the same thing. And it has a chapter on fitness in your community, how to get involved in activities, how to do a fitness gym, things like that. Buddy wrote that chapter. It has all kinds of stuff on fitness. There's not a great deal on exercise equipment because we don't have all the equipment, and it would be extremely difficult to actually. We do talk about Peloton and their latest bikes that have accessibility built in, but in general, it would not be the book if you're looking for accessible exercise equipment, because there really wasn't a practical way for us to run the whole gamut of accessibility of equipment and figure out what was accessible and what wasn't. But there's a lot in there, and there's a lot of good. There's a whole section on just resources, web resources, things you can go on the web that you can, videos and things you can that are accessible that you can use for fitness. So yes, that book will be out just in the next week or two.
All right, great. Yeah, I was looking at things that interface with the iPhone or something.
Yep.
Exercise bike, and my son and I've spent quite a bit of time. We could do one or the other. We could make it tell us how far we traveled or the speed, but not both, because Bluetooth only does one at a time, and so trying to learn the hard way. Deborah, did you have another question? Deborah Williams?
Yes. So I don't have any exercise equipment, but I wanted to know, does your book go into different moves or different things you can do to exercise?
It does. One of the chapters is on kind of simple things you can do at home. and it's about just exercises you can do, and it actually just has exercise descriptions. And it also talks about exercises you can do with simple equipment, like a stability ball or resistance bands and those kinds of equipment that can help you do exercises at home. And it gives lists of exercises and resources where you can get more.
Okay. And that book is also going to be available on the National Girl Press?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I think it's supposed to be out the 24th of October, I think they said. So.
Okay. Well, it will be in their Christmas catalog. Once you order a book from them, then you will get a catalog at least twice a year.
Right.
Okay.
And it's really cool. It's Braille. It comes to you. It's like stuck together like a little sticker. Mm-hmm. You just open it, and it has descriptions, and it has books that they put on sale, and there's cookbooks.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm a proponent. And they have kids' books, the print Braille kids' books. I have bought plenty of those, and they sit on my shelf waiting for kids. Aww. And sometimes I hand them to clients at the center to read.
Oh. You have some at your office?
So I do have
some at my office, yes.
So Bonnie,
yes.
You teach clients who are newly blind?
I do. I do the older blind grant, and then I teach iPhone stuff to DVR, VR clients, and I do a support group three times a month for our older blind and anybody else that wants to come. And
so what kind of books would be helpful for such people? Is there any particular topic that you can think of?
I have a suggestion on that note. I'm going to throw this out and see what you think.
Oh, good. Okay.
I just thought, I know this is kind of covered in different ways, but if someone actually came up with a book, something like, I'll even give you a cheesy title, Working Through the Tech, and you just talk about the process of all those little tech things that you need to know, you're going landing a new job, you know, so maybe you have a chapter on those most important things you need to know about Word or Excel or Zoom or Microsoft Teams or Outlook. I mean, where you just kind of cover each thing that people are at Google Docs. I mean, I know you can't cover everything. It's pretty comprehensive, but so I would say a cheat sheet, but a little more description of, you know, and you just cover all the different things that people need to know. So when they land that job, they have a resource guide they can keep handy and just get them up to speed on the tools that they need.
Mm. Well, National Braille Press does,
they have several compendiums and reference sheets.
Keystroke, mostly it's keystroke lists.
Right.
They have a lot of keystroke lists for Word and so forth. But what you could pull all that together into a reference book of where you might get resource lists. And they don't have everything because they don't have Teams and they don't.
Right. So I'm thinking of something more like, okay, yeah, here's Word. And so, yeah, you got those hotkeys. That's great. But things like, you know, bold and fonts and centering and just the things to make your document.
That is a big book, Michael, already.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I mean, it's hard to think about how you could consolidate all of that into something that would be manageable. But
I'm thinking about doing a Zoom tech fair and just getting different people knowledgeable and just coming in and talking like hour at a time or something and just cover these different things. Like, look, tell me what I need to know, the most important things I need to know so I can get my head around these concepts. So,
okay,
I think anything like that is great because no one can know all of it. I mean, I've been writing about technology and working with technology for a lot of years. There are tons of things I don't know anything about or I know just enough to get by.
Yes.
It's all like that because, you know, you take the simplest device, even way back to the Braille and Speak, even as simple as that was by today's standards, there were really certain things it could do that some of us never did, you know, because there. So I think your idea of just bringing together a lot of people, and I think a book that tried to cover it all, that would have a lot of contributors, which is kind of branches off into what we're doing with Access World in a way. You know, it's just one person just can't do all that.
What I'm struggling with are the people who I keep hearing people say, oh, I just can't use an iPhone. It's like,
okay, so here we are. Those are the people I work with. Okay.
Yes. So why not?
Let me tell you an experience.
Okay.
There was an 88-year-old lady who couldn't see to navigate the phone and could not learn VoiceOver, but she also needed her family wanted her to have a backup phone because her landline went out sometimes. So it made sense to put a lot of numbers in it, though she could just say, call so-and-so. But here was the problem. How in the heck was she going to answer the phone without voiceover, right? And so I said, okay, keep calling her, and I will keep doing whatever it takes for me to answer that phone. Finally, I figured out that if I put my finger in a certain place and swiped across the phone, I could answer it. And so we put a bump dot right there in that spot, and we said, you put your finger on the right side of that bump, and then you slide your finger across, and you can answer the phone. She did it several times. And so all she really needed was to be able to say, call John, call Nancy, and answer when people called her. Because we didn't even worry about whether she could hang up. Why? Because they're going
to
hang up.
Well, the funniest thing about that is that's one of the hardest things to do with an iPhone is to make and receive phone calls.
It is. And yet it's the first thing you have to teach people. When I teach people voiceovers, it's almost the first thing I work on.
Yes.
And I have had a couple, some folks who have more cognitive disabilities along with their blindness. And I'm telling you, we work on that sometimes for hours so that they can do that double tap with two fingers. And, you know, we have different ways of expressing it. And
It doesn't always work for me. I mean,
no.
That's why they have to keep
in the ICANN Connect program for about 4 years teaching people with combined hearing loss.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were, it wasn't just iPhones, it was, you know, computers and notes and so forth. One of the things that and it was interesting, everybody who was making choices for people in ICANN Connect before me was getting people those heavy-duty, sturdy OtterBox cases. And I think one of the first things you have to do when you're teaching somebody to use a touchscreen is not have a big, heavy-duty case like that that gets in the way, like be able to touch the screen directly. And for a lot of people, those
speed dots
that you can get, they're versions for several different phones, and they're
the AT guys sell them, and
yes they do, and there's versions for the number pad, there's versions for braille screen input, there's all kinds of different versions.
I haven't used them very much because I haven't really needed them, but maybe I ought to get some of those.
They're cool.
They're really nice.
They are nice. When I first started using an iPhone way back in 2010, I actually used one for several years.
I did too.
For a while.
Yeah, I did too. I had one of my iPhone 5S.
Yeah,
and
me
too.
I stopped actually after a few years, but it would.
And the other thing that's nice that I got for some people, I think they're still available. I think National Braille Press was selling them, but they were designed by Tom Decker.
Those screenshot things. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a book.
They're pretty out of date now.
They are. I have one in my office.
I have one too.
Okay.
They're much too out of date now.
So I have to add one thing before I forget, and that is I bought that slate because of you, Judy.
The Versus slate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
I call it the magic slate.
I love it.
It is like so incredible. Holy cow. It's like, I can't even tell you how happy I am that I bought it.
I love it. I know. I think it's really, really cool. It's a great slate.
I have a Polaris Mini that works less than it worked. Hardly ever works. And now I have that thing and I can just pick it up and I'm
I actually have one in my hand at this very moment. I was just making a note because I do that. When I just something comes into my head and I just want to get it down and I don't want to have to, you know, open Notepad and all that stuff. I just want to write it down and I want to be able to read it after I write it.
So I wrote about that in Access World. So where did Judy write about it?
It was an interview. JJ.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean? That was me. Okay.
No, I convinced JJ to sell it because I bought my first one. I saw it for the first time in about 2017. Overflow AT demonstrated it at CSUN. And I was so excited about it. And I tried to tell them. I said, I have a large collection of Braille slates. I actually know something about slates. And they didn't care. And so, but then in 2020 when they finally came out with it. I bought five of them, and I was very enthusiastic about it, and I kept convincing JJ, you need to sell this, and it's a cool thing. And he was like, well, I mean, it is expensive, and that's, yeah, I mean, I get that. And he was like, well, nobody's gonna buy this, it's so expensive. I said, but it's so cool! You know, it's, you yeah. know, once people have a chance to use it, they might actually, you know, some people will buy it. Anyway.
You're done with all five of them, I have to know.
What's that?
You have five of them. Are they all in different places? Is that
no,
why?
No, no. I gave three of them away.
Okay.
One of them is, my husband's also blind and hearing impaired. So, he has one down on his table. And when I, oh, this is really fun. When I want him to do something, I go pick it up and write a note for him on it. So. It's kind of our honey-do list on his versus lady.
Very cool. But the small one, JJ sent a small one, and it's really, it might be useful for very new Braille users, because it, for me, I just don't see the purpose of it. It's two lines, 12 cells each.
I agree. It's awful.
If you left out the hyphens, you could write a phone number, and that's...
Yeah. Is JJ going to sell that? I don't think he's selling it.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he is. Oh, okay. It.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bought the bigger one.
Yeah, no, the bigger one's much better.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because I put it in the article that I wrote on various ways to take notes, and then he sent me the small one, you know, with the idea that I included in the holiday gift guide. So. And
oh yeah, it would be
that.
It would be a nice gift, or even the big one would be a nice gift.
That yeah, makes, that's
a really nice guy.
Yeah, I'm going to promote the big one and just mention the little one. So there's a sneak peek right here. Yeah. The excellent holiday gift guy. Because you don't know, you know, what it maybe could even be useful as a some sort of a boost to teaching. I don't know.
You know, the Braille is so good on it. If you really want to teach people to use a slate and stylus, which... You know, I also teach Braille, and I use just the McDuffie Reader program, which I find pretty good. It needs more ways to practice. But what I don't do a lot of, unless I have someone who really is really interested in Braille, I don't always teach the slate, because I want to teach things that are going to be useful. I know my time is, you know, limited. It's not forever. And so, but I did have one student who took off on Braille, and I did teach her to use the slate. She learned to label with the slate.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time, I don't put a lot of stock in this notion that, you know, people are too old to learn this and too old to learn that. I think that the way that subjects are presented,
mm-hmm.
if you say to someone, well, this is a slate and stylus and you have to write backwards and from right to left.
Yeah, no, I never do that.
You never say it backwards.
But if you just say, this is the way we do it and it's really cool and you'll catch on because you're smart and, you know, then, and the thing about who can use an iPhone and who can't, I've seen people who are new to blindness in their 70s get pretty good with iPhones.
And I have two.
Yeah. It just, if they're motivated, you know, if you really want to do it and you get a positive message from others that this is possible and lots of people are doing it and this is how, and, you know, do some modeling, which is probably exactly what you're doing, Bonnie, I would guess.
Yeah.
Just modeling for your students.
Well, I want to go back to that, because we talk about what could help Bonnie and many people that do the work that she does. And I see this a lot because I've done presentations and it'd be senior, you know, events and so forth. But a book, and again, I know this is out there in pieces, but a book about independent living, a book with resources to help someone or family members that want to help someone when they don't have to go in a nursing home, and just covering those basics like getting groceries delivered using Walmart or Instacart, and traveling door-to-door delivery using Uber and Lyft, and you know, when you do need sighted help, using Ira and Be My Eyes. And I know all of those are out there in pieces. So if you know to go get the book about but to have it all in one, and the concept, it isn't about, you know, what's out there. It's about putting it together in one theme with one goal, one objective to say, look, I want to help people or help myself live independently.
By independent life.
Right.
Yes. There you go.
That's kind of what I'm doing in pieces in the Hour Special column. That's kind of what I'm doing. So that's kind of a neat idea.
I have to subscribe again. I subscribed years ago when I had kids. And I haven't subscribed in years.
Deborah, why could you not just take those individual articles and at the end of it put it into one big book, one big collection?
I wish to raise a hand. Am I unmuted?
Yeah, go ahead.
You are unmuted.
I wish to introduce myself. Thank you very much for putting this on. This is Kenneth Gregory. Bonnie, good to hear from you again.
Yeah.
I am a current client, for disclosure. And I want to thank everybody presenting. I've been listening the entire afternoon and I'm learning so much and getting so many positive ideas. And, thank you very much. In regards to the book, and the ideas, one of the, and as Bonnie can probably allude to, I've been going through a transition period right now that's been pretty intense. And one of the things that strikes me in my recovery road is, breaking old habits, going into new ones, as part of, say, for example, the generation gap, where one group, is accustomed to, say, living, or memories of the 1980s and then transitioning now with, changes with the 2020s. And it's,
Can you give an example of what you mean?
In many ways, I have phobias with the phone itself. I'm learning to use it in ways that I never thought a year ago. I'm still sort of in the mindset of the 1990s or 1980s. And so I prefer a phone call, but the world is moving towards texting. So how does one jump that gap when they suddenly have to?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that is a challenge. And I can tell you right now, Ken, there was a time when I first got my phone where I wasn't used to texting and all I could think was calling people. And I think it's basically one text at a time. For example, last night I sent you a text about signing up for a convention and offering to help you and asking you if you had signed up. I knew you hadn't because I was seeing everyone that came in. And so then you wrote me back and said, this is so difficult. Well, you know, and you were really frustrated and I could tell. So at that point, I went ahead and called you and got you signed up. But the nice thing about texting is you can take it piece by piece. So for example, a lot of times I'll just text someone and say, can we talk on the phone? And, and what I'm checking out is, are you available? And then you don't have to go through and leave a message. And I can tell you right now, so many people nowadays don't listen to their messages. So I think it's a gradual thing and you don't have to do all of it. Just like we're talking about, some of the things that people can do that are more technology oriented and not. For example, Judy was referring to labeling. You know, there are lots of ways to label. It might be, getting some sponge letters, you know, that kids play with and putting them on a can or a jar or whatever that you're going to keep using. And having it that way. It might be, using, like we talked about using Seeing AI and setting up those shortcuts that will allow you to just simply say to your phone, scan this, barcode.
Yeah.
And so I think recognizing that we can really, do things that suit us. And that's why having these books and stuff.
Right.
More than one way of doing things is the important thing.
I can see that it must be a challenge, though, with 50 ways to do things. Like, how do you find which one would work for you?
Yeah.
Well, when you're accustomed to doing things in a particular way and you know, it's so you gravitate to your old ways, which inhibit you learning the new ones. And I think, you know, I was just trying to present that as a concept of a focus for a book, like you guys were mentioning, in which it sort of helps consolidate the transition period rather than, for example, one individual who's lived with vision impairment their entire lives is going to be different in sort of their transition.
Oh, very definitely. Yes.
Adjustment.
You're right. Yeah,
totally.
Here's my title. How to eat an elephant.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. My column in this month.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh wait, I'm unstable again. Oh crud! Yeah. My column in the hour special that's coming out next month is called "More Than One Way," and I started out by saying, you know, when you're blind and you get used to it, you find out there's more than one way of doing everything. When you can see, you know the biscuits are done by their color. When you can't, you know they're done by their smell. And that rule applies to everything we do. If you are used to figuring out something because you have good echolocation or you have perfect pitch, and then your hearing starts to fail, then you find another way. You find a way that's tactile. And if you're used to, you know, running up and down stairs and then you can't run, you figure out another way. And I think maybe that sounds like a lot of happy sappy stuff, but it's not. I believe it. It's at the core of my being that there's always another way, and that actually look at it, those of us who are blind or have hearing loss or other kinds of disabilities, those present gifts because people who live the longest and are the smartest are ones who have to create new patterns in their brains all the time. And nobody has to create new patterns in their brains like a blind person, because we're faced with something new every time. Well, I was going to say every time we step outside, but you don't even need to step outside. Amazon brings a new gadget to your door. You got to figure out. I got a talking oximeter yesterday, and I felt very successful when I figured out how to get that stupid battery cover off so I could put the batteries in it.
You know, so what is a talking what?
Oximeter.
Oxygen. Blood oxygen?
Yes.
Okay.
You put on your finger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tells you your oxygen level and your pulse.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So it talks. Sweet.
It talks and it's really nice. And I wish I had had one when my children were children.
Mm-hmm. I did think of something for a book. So one thing I've been trying to understand better is creating shortcuts, Siri shortcuts.
Oh, there is a book on it that Anna Dresner wrote, and it's available from National Braille Press.
Oh, what's that one called? Was that one written in like 18?
Yes, it was 19.
I think I actually have it. They said it's all good, but maybe the very beginning is outdated. I think that's what someone told me when I bought it. I do need to read that book. So I figured out that there are some very simple ones, and Seeing AI has some wonderful shortcuts.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. I mean, the ones that the apps offer you, like Seeing AI, are great.
Yeah, that's simple.
But to actually do one, I have a colleague who's a friend of mine, and when I stay in hotels, one of the most frustrating things is the thermostats. And so for many, many, many years now, I take a picture of the thermostat and I text it to him, and he sends me back a description. Well, I now have a Siri shortcut. All I say to my phone is "Ask Neil," and all it does is it takes a picture, it takes a photo. I have to hold it in front of the thermostat. It takes a picture. It sends my city and state, my location. I don't know why I included that, but I thought it was helpful for him to know. And then it texts to my friend Neil, and he knows when he gets a picture of a thermostat, that means send me a description. And it works. I just say "Ask Neil," and it takes the picture and texts it to him, and he sends me back a description of the thermostat.
I've got an idea for you.
Yeah.
It could be a sequel to your book about ways of writing. About a how to use Ulysses guide.
Or even word processing. I mean, you know, writing with a, because the writing book is about using the tools of writing. It's not about an app. Necessarily, and you're right.
Right.
You know, and a Ulysses book would be actually, I wonder if a lot of people would want it. It's.
I guess I'm going to have to confess that.
It is the best word, you know, writing app on an iPhone is Ulysses. It's.
I want to learn to use it.
And so do I.
I don't want to teach myself. I want you to teach me.
I want to learn to use it. So I'd love to write a book about it.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So it's better than, I haven't done much writing on my iPhone other than using Braille screen input to write emails, texts and stuff. Well, but my question is, I know I've heard about Voice Dream Writer, but you're saying, and I don't know much about it, quite frankly, but this is much, much better.
I've used Voice Dream Writer a little bit, and I'd actually wish I had the patience to learn.
That's why I'm, the writing, and actually, Ulysses wasn't out when I did the writing book, but Voice Dream Writer was. And there's a good section in the writing book on Voice Dream Writer, because it is a really nice program. But
Ulysses, some
for a serious Michael, writer, Ulysses is even better.
Oh wow!
The Canadian, I think he's Canadian, Michael Fair, who wrote that
he is
book
Canadian.
About the iPhone.
Yeah,
I heard him say he wrote the whole book on an iPhone.
I remember hearing that.
It's be so cool to do that and not.
Yeah. When I travel, I always take a laptop with me, and I went on a 4-day trip, and I tried. What will it be like to just travel with my iPhone? And I took my iPhone and a Bluetooth keyboard. I did take a Bluetooth keyboard. And I was fine. Email was fine. Text was fine. Everything was fine. Except what it actually surprised me what I ended up having trouble with. And that was Safari. Because I'm so used to when I want to know something, I just jump on the web and do a quick Google search and read about it. I couldn't do that. I realized I just didn't know Safari very well. To use it in the way that I would use a web browser on a computer.
I'm actually, that's the number one way that I use Siri. I'm not a big Siri fan, but I'm really good at searching the web with Siri. And, once I'm there, then looking around and stuff, following other things.
I just still couldn't do it quite, not in the way that I use Safari. I'm going to use a web browser on a computer. That was my major. I couldn't do it.
Well, I don't know what I'd do without Braille screen input because
I love Braille screen input.
Yes, and I heard your interview with Mosin, and I'd done it where you hold your three finger down, and then your next finger down, and you get it goes beep beep beep. But then when I start doing it the way you said, where you do it fast, right three fingers, left three fingers, and it says dots calibrated.
Yep.
It actually works. I had so much trouble on my iPhone 8 writing sometimes with it. I was just about ready to give it up, but it's working a lot.
I'm really glad to hear that.
It looks like Linda is maybe trying.
Oh, okay. Yes, Linda. I'm glad you guys are paying attention.
Deborah, I think Williams again. But again, it's a little less formal. Anyone can unmute.
Yeah, unmute yourself, everyone.
You just have to kind of. For your split second opportunity to throw your
and over. Don't wait.
Debbie Williams has her hand up again too.
Okay, Debbie, and then Linda.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Linda had her hand up before me, so you can.
All right, Linda, jump in. Linda is from Juneau.
She's still muted.
I've been to Juneau. It's really cold there. Linda, do you have snow yet?
She's still muted.
On top of the mountains. Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi. Hello. I was just typing. Hi, thanks. I've been typing notes. I'm so excited listening to it all, but I'm triple tasking because I'm at my daughter's volleyball tournament. So it's tricky trying to look through my camera and enlarge it and capture her and listen. But I find this so valuable and I'm glad it's being recorded. So I'm hoping I can listen through it all in closer detail and share more details. So thank you.
So good to hear from you, Linda. And what was I going to say? I was going to say something.
Is it snowing? I just want to know if it's snowing in
Fair. No, actually, Juneau's probably, what's the temperature there?
Oh, yeah. Actually, Joe, Juneau's in this very southeast. Yes.
It's warmer there than it is here. Let's see. What is my temperature? I vote. My echo never hears me.
They didn't want to build the bridge to the airport. I remember that. I took one of those Alaskan cruises one time, and we stopped in Juneau. It was wonderful.
So in Anchorage, it's 34 degrees.
Oh, really?
Really? Holy smoke.
We've had ski for light in Anchorage.
Okay, in Juneau, it's 41. It's
three
really nice weather in Juneau, 41. So.
Anchorage is a great place. I love Alaska.
We love it when we have non-Alaskans on because we get to tell them all these stories and
Alaska.
Some good discussions.
Yeah.
about moose. And right, this past week was a contest to see what bear ate the most salmon. And they have these bears that people take pictures of, and people, they're all named somewhere.
Well, you can't forget about the big fish stories either.
Yeah.
Bonnie, I want to tell you something really quickly about Braille screen input in iOS 15.
Okay.
For the first time, you can now use, if you have any shortcut keyboard shortcuts set up, like just you have a couple of letters and it would put in, you know, your email address or whatever, a whole bunch of words, you can set up a lot. Braille screen input will now do that.
Oh, wow.
It's the first time that it's done it. It's very cool.
I need to do more of those kind of shortcuts, too.
Yeah.
Okay, were you saying something?
Oh, I was saying can't forget about telling about big fish stories.
Big fish stories.
Yeah, about Alaska stories. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, I once caught a 25-pound king in a dip net.
In a dip net. Whoa, that's big. Yeah.
Deborah Williams, did you have another comment or something you wanted to?
Yep, I had a question about actually the process of writing a book, like the different steps after you write it, getting it published, copywritten, you know, those things.
Yeah, I want to echo that as well. I was wanted to bring up the same thing. What... You know, is there some kind of style guides, or how do you format it? I mean, come up with the words.
I write my books in Microsoft Word, and National Braille Press has a very competent editor. So I do my best to, you know, put in headings and make sure everything is as organized as it can be. But I send it to her, and she does the final editing. And she actually, you know, worries about whatever style consistencies that they may have and things like that. But it's pretty close when I send it to her.
See, the challenge I have is my first writing was advertising copy, so I have to really switch to storytelling and that. So,
right.
Deborah, how would you approach that?
Well, I was just going to say my experience is different. It's very different because, you know, I was first and foremost a writer, not a technical person. And I've done a lot of editing. You know, I edited a magazine for 15 years, and I've edited books for people. And, you know, some of us can sing. And so, you know, some of us can sing and some of us can build furniture. And, you know, I was born with the writing editing gene. So I mean, there are style guides. Elements of Style is the oldest book. And there's another one that National Braille Press produced. And I can't think of the name of it because I don't use those books, but I do recommend them. But, you know, in terms of, you know, all of them, writing that, whether I'm writing for newspapers or magazines or National Braille Press or anybody else, I don't get really involved with a lot of formatting. You know, I put in headings, and for the NBP books that, you know, created a table of contents. And because, you know, I know that sometimes when blind people produce documents and other people have commented to me that, you know, this person should have had a little bit of help with the appearance of it, I always make sure before I turn over a document to anybody, whether it's a magazine article or a poem or a letter, whatever, it's check it to make sure that you've got all the same font. You know, sometimes you start writing something and it's an Arial and you forget and you change somewhere to Libra and it's really unpleasant for the, or, you know, parts of it are, and unless you're doing headings, which changes the font size deliberately, and that's what you want. But that would be the only simple technical thing I would suggest is when you finish any document, whether it's, you know, 500 words or 50,000, you know, comb it for consistency of font and format. But you're saying you want to move into writing stories, and what would you do?
My question was, as far as writing, once you're done writing, then how do you get it published and copywritten and all that?
Yeah. We have a publisher before we start, so that's the good news.
And it depends on your kind of book. You know, I think there are ways people nowadays kind of publish their own, but it still helps to have someone work with it. And you know,
so if you want to, it depends. Do you want to sell your work and make money, or do you want to get it, you know, as a fledgling writer 35 years ago, what I did is, because I needed to make a living, I needed to either go somewhere and teach and not be home with my children, or stay home with my children and write, but the writing had to pay. I had to find a way to make money. So that's a totally different situation. And what I did is I read everything I could get my hands on about writing. And there's so much more now than there was then. But what there was then was the Writer magazine on those flexible floppy disk things. And but it's still available as a download from Bard. And it's still a good magazine. Writer's Digest is another magazine. There's tons and tons of writing websites and writing how-to books. So I read about writing. And then I decided the best place for me was magazines. So I read all the Braille magazines I could get my hands on. And then I had people reading print magazines to me and studied the format. Okay, so this magazine likes this kind of story and this magazine likes this kind of story. And I started writing stories and sending them. And I was very, very fortunate because a lot of my stuff early on was sold. And it, you know, I don't know. I guess I was lucky, but that's still how you do it. It's easier now in many ways because there's much more information about writing that you can read and that you can get from Bard and Bookshare and read online on websites about writing. And submissions used to be so hard because I had to send them through the mail and enclose a self-addressed envelope. Mm-hmm. And now most magazines and agents and publishers, everybody accepts electronic submissions. So it's a lot easier now for blind people. So is that what you meant? Am I on the right track, Lowe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the old days, not only did you have to make sure it was right, but you had to have someone look at it while it was still in the typewriter to correct the errors.
Well, I've kind of said many times that getting my first computer, which was a tape-based VersaBraille, is what made the difference between my writing a little bit and making a living. Yeah. Because when I got that VersaBraille, I literally could produce 4 articles at a time that I could do 1 before, because I didn't need proofreaders anymore.
Oh my gosh, I wish I'd had that. Man, my process for writing papers in graduate school was horrendous. And I knew someone had a VersaBraille, but I just assumed I could never get one.
I was in graduate school before VersaBrailles. I remember writing papers and just typing on the typewriter and just hoping it came out okay. We all had the experience of the ribbon running out and...
Oh, yeah.
Handing in a sheet all on stencil because someone flipped that little button.
Yes.
That's what I did in high school. All these paragraphs. I spent hours writing.
Oh, we all did that.
Gave them to my teachers. Yep. I can tell you wrote it because there are little indentions all on all these paper.
Yep.
But there
We've
was
all got those horror stories
right on the top for the stencil. What was stencil for anyway? I have no idea. But it maybe when you were, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to guess. But I still had someone go over it.
No, there used to be actual stencils that people wrote that were used by copying machines.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And that's what stencil was for.
Yeah.
I actually had one, not in graduate school. In graduate school, they were all pretty mean to me, but they wouldn't have been this nice. But when I was, I think, a junior in college, I had this one favorite professor, and I'd been every class that he taught, you know, American lit and British lit and rhetoric and composition, all this stuff. Anyway, so he'd seen a lot of my papers, and one time he gave me back a paper, and he said, "I want to explain to you what happened here. You didn't have your ribbon on." I could see the, like you were saying, Bonnie, I could see the indentations, and it took me a long time, but I read it, and I'm going to give it away.
Wow.
And another time, that same professor, another time he gave me back a paper and he said, "You forgot to put your name on it." And I said, "Then how did you know it was mine?" And he said, "I'd know your sentences anywhere."
Aww. That's pretty sweet.
So, yeah. So there are horror stories, I'm sure, you know, today with people who have grown up with computers, you still can lose the file. We've all had that happen.
Yeah.
And, you know.
God, it's almost worse than the dog eating it, you know.
Oh. That's
you know what, Judy? That's what somebody should write a book.
That's why I love dog drop-off.
Backing up your work.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Even on your stupid little Braille device. And then remembering to take the card out before you send it because it might not even get back to you because UPS could lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just call Back It Up. There's your title. Back It Up.
Well, there you go. You gave me an idea because I do a lot of that because I have a business. I don't want to lose any data. So I've got all kinds of crazy redundant methods of backing up zeros and ones so that we don't lose anything. Got some hands up here?
Oh, Bonnie, it's late. Raised hands. Who's raised?
Who's raised? We got raised hands? Okay.
Deborah and Paul, I guess.
All right, Paul, you're still on. Great.
We need to give away our books soon here.
Yeah. So who wants the books? Who's interested? What are you supposed to be saying, people?
Yeah.
I mean, there could be someone tomorrow, but it would be nice if we give away tonight. Let's find out who's on here.
We got 12. We're dwindling here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How many are phone numbers? I should be looking at this, but I don't want to.
Just two. Our phones. Two.
Okay. What are the prefixes? Or the
I think they're both 907s.
Yeah, I know they're 907, but the first three digits are the phone number.
Oh, let's see. They would be. They run together 230 and...
Oh, okay. I know who that is.
You know that is? Okay. Yeah. What is this? Okay. 342.
I know that one for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so Paul had his hand up and...
Go ahead, Paul. Talk to us.
Is that because we didn't give him a chance to speak?
Oh, did he leave? Or did he just put it down?
He just lowered his hand, but it
okay, was... Paul, go ahead and unmute if you'd like. So,
Ken is still here, and I'm very interested in those books. So either, you know, I'm still going to be buying them.
Right. Well, we got questions, but then we'll have more all hands here. And
sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It's totally fine.
Paul, do you have a question, sir?
He's still muted.
Okay.
Back up.
Maybe people are raising their hands for books, but we haven't. Then, because what we're going to do is name each book, and then you'll raise your hand specifically for that book. So that way we make sure that you get the book that you're interested in. So speak up. Anyone can unmute and speak. Otherwise, I might just go and reset hands here.
Paul, are you able to press Alt-A? It looks like you're on a computer.
He's on an iPad, I think.
Okay, he's lowered his hand.
And he lowered his hand.
Maybe so he was just trying to win a prize. I don't know. But Deborah, did you have anything else? Williams?
No, I'll just summarize quick because I didn't talk a whole lot about my book. So if somebody is interested in the Navigating Healthcare When All They Can See Is You Can't, think of it as a guidebook to integrating blindness into all possible medical situations, whether it's you as a patient or you as a caregiver. And I just wanted to say that again, that it's a guidebook for advocating for yourself. It's an easy read.
But it gives some wonderful tips. I'm just going to say one as a parent. It talks about how when you take your child, making sure that they know that you are the one that is the caregiver, not that someone else or you're waiting for someone else or someone else is going to be doing it. I mean, I took kids to the doctor all the time and I would get in a cab and, you know, take my little kids. And I had a pretty good doctor's office. They knew I was the mom and that I was the one in charge. In fact, I even had my doctor call me back when I called to say that my daughter's elbow had once again gone out. And on the phone, he told me how to fix it. And I thought that was pretty cool. And so I think having a good relationship with the medical establishment that you work with, but then being able to know when things aren't working out. For example, I've had a doctor say to me, well, you need to be on this medicine because you're more likely to fall. Well, I don't have any reason to fall. I'm blind, but I'm very sturdy on my feet. And if that weren't the case, then yeah, I might consider that. But I just said, no, I don't know. Tell me about your research. And she said, well, I don't have any. And I said, I've almost never fallen. So just like in 40 years of cooking, I've cut my finger with sharp knives maybe five fingers, five times and five to 10 times in 40 years. And so I'd say I have, and I've never been to the hospital for cutting the tip off a finger. So I'd say I have a fairly decent.
Okay, with that, why don't we go ahead? If you are interested in the book from Deborah Kendrick, Navigating Healthcare, when all they can see is that you can't, raise your hand and we will see how many hands we get. And then we will, okay, we got some hands coming up here. If anyone doesn't know how, on your phone, it is *9. On your iPhone, bottom right for the more button. And then again, you go down to the bottom right and swipe once to the left. Or anyway, just find the raise hand button. And on your computer, *Y. Got 3. Anyone else? Come on. Okay. Then we will do Judy's book. But anyone right now, Navigating Healthcare from Deborah Kendrick. Oh, this one.
There's three raised hands.
We have three hands. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
You sound like an auctioneer.
You do. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't thought of that, but well, my degree is in radio, so the radio voice just comes out when I don't even expect it sometimes, but okay.
Okay, it said two hands raised, and then it said three hands binding.
We have three right now.
Okay, one is Brian.
And one is the phone number 9551.
And Linda.
And Linda.
Okay, Brian, Linda.
Four, okay.
Oh, there's another one.
Deborah Williams, yeah. Interested?
Linda, Brian.
So we have four.
So Bonnie, you know these people. You have to like close your eyes and pick or something.
No, he's going to.
Okay, we're going
to. He has them all numbered. So he's going to.
Okay.
So we're going to ask. We're going to ask Lady A here to give a random number from 1 to 4. We'll see how this works.
Oh, nice. Okay.
All right. Echo, random number from 1 to 4.
Here's a number between 1 and 4. It's 1.
It's 1. Oh, well, 1. That would be Brian Blair.
Oh, I'm not quite sure how.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think we should make him say hello. We haven't even heard his voice.
I'm here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Talking all day earlier.
Oh. Hi, Brian. Yeah, I've been congratulations.
Here. Yeah, thank you. I was looking forward to reading it. I've had a few, I've had some medical things here in the last, year or so, and maybe, you know, don't know, may have some more. So it's always.
So what you need to do is contact Kesel Wilson. It's K-E-S-E-L. Bonnie, do you want me to give the phone number for people who need to contact her right now?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I can write it down.
We can give you her email address.
What was the first name again?
K-E-S, as in Sam, E-L.
Okay.
Kesel Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N.
Okay.
So her email is K Wilson, the initial K, W-I-L-S-O-N, at NBP, National Braille Press, .org. And she did tell me today to give her direct phone number. So her direct phone number is 617-425-2413. And so you would call her and tell her that you won the Navigating Healthcare book, and if you want it in print or Braille or downloaded Word, or they can send it to you on a flash drive downloadable too, however you want it. Okay.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot. Yeah. Look forward to that. All right. Cool. I wrote that down.
We got all hands lowered, and now we will give away the book from Judy Dixon, audio description, what it is, where it is, and what it is, right. Where to find it. Where to find it.
Very good.
Wow. Yeah, so there are people for those left. Okay, raise your hand for that. If you like this book, if you like audio description, well, no, because it's, there we go, 2. Come on, get a few more. 3.
I'll put your name in for that one. Let me see. Let me say Alt-Y.
Yep, computer Alt-Y.
We have Deborah. We have Linda. We have Ken Gregory. And a person whose number ends in 0135.
0135. Is that Charlie? Who is that?
That's Velda.
Oh, Velda. Okay. Velda. All right.
And did my name come up? I did Alt Y, but maybe I'm not
Bonnie,
in the
thing. Bonnie, you're not.
Hang on. I'm not in the right place. Oh my gosh.
You're not
your hand is not raised.
Yet. Your hand is not raised.
Alt Y.
We can just count you.
Yeah, my computer's not letting me go to Zoom. I'm doing Alt Tab.
Yeah, it's weird because Zoom, for a while, didn't let co-hosts raise their hand, but it does now. But
why don't you Alt-Tab?
Yeah, Alt-Tab where it's
I'm trying to. It's just like,
Let me see if I can raise my hand.
Weird. Let me hit Escape.
Yeah, I did raise my hand. So it does let me.
That is really, oh, I know why. I have speech on. Full speech. There, full speech. There we go.
Now try it. There you go. Number four. Oh,
yep, you're
there
raised.
There are five hands right. Oh, is that counting Judy's?
Don't, no, I lowered mine.
Don't give the book to Judy.
Okay.
I lowered my hand.
You lowered your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to do it.
I just wanted to test and see if a co-host.
No, because I had turned speech off. So.
Yes, we have five hands raised.
All right. Let's see how this works. Now, keep in mind, people may see them in different order. So the way they are here is Deborah,
Linda,
Ken,
and
then you say
0315. 0135.
That's how that.
And Bonnie's number five from here. Okay.
That's the order I see them.
All right, great.
That's the same order I have.
And sometimes it's different with Zoom. But anyway, all right. Echo, random number from 1 to 5.
Here's a number between 1 and 5. It's 2.
2.
Oh, let's see. Linda.
Linda. Is that Linda Newman? Linda's iPhone?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Hey.
All right.
And so, Linda, do you need the contact information?
I've got it. I wrote it all down. I'll make sure she gets it.
Okay, good, good. Okay. And
you guys.
She stressed that's the only way to get these books. Do not call customer service.
Right.
Call customer service if you want to buy the books, but if you're the winner of either of the books tonight, you must contact Cassell Wilson.
Can I just say, as we are wrapping up here, how cool it's been to have you guys do this. I mean, I hope National Braille Press will encourage this with their authors more often, because I think it's excellent. I really find that very few people are aware of National Braille Press. I think it's one of the most least known about entities in this community. And so I'm really, really, really happy that we made this happen.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Any last thoughts before we conclude for today? It's been such a great, great first day of convention. I really learned a lot, and it's been super. Thanks again to everyone.
Okay. I'm sorry, Deborah.
Yes,
last name?
Say that again.
What if Judy Flaff, Dave?
Oh, Dixon. D-I-X-O-N.
Okay. G-I-S-O-N.
X. X is an X-ray.
Oh, X.
Yes.
Right. Okay. G-I-X-O-N?
D.
D.
D-I-X-O-N.
Oh, okay. Dixon. All right.
Hi.
Long live the Perkins. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that, Perkins. Listen to that.
And Debbie, next time you're at the center, come and see my, I call it the magic slate, but I know that's not what it's versus slate.
Okay. And the name of the book is Audio Description?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty. And you say call customer service to get it.
No. No. If you want to buy it, call customer service. Yes.
Okay.
So I think is she
Linda?
No, that's Deborah. Linda's going to, call customer service, Deborah, because you're going to be buying it, right?
Okay,
definitely customer service.
Bonnie, you've got all the information, right? You wrote
down? I do. I sat here
and wrote
down
the names and everything. Well,
800-548-7323.
And I'm going to hit .8S, whatever. Enter S, and now it's saving.
Okay. And, you know, if you need any of it again, call me or email me or mail Judy or something.
Or text her.
Yeah.
I love text.
I do too.
So as authors, do you have fanboys or anything? I mean, do you have a...
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I was a fan of Deborah Kendrick since 1993, but I don't know now what publication it was. But anyway.
What did I do?
What did
you say, Michael?
No, I asked if you or Judy had any fanboys from your writing. There's people that just, you know, buy everything that you...
Rupees.
That you create. Yeah.
Yeah. I for me...
She probably does.
For me, I think, you know, like one of the thrilling kinds of things, because it goes so far back, is it's so cool to be somewhere and somebody says, you know, that they remember Tactic, or I wrote a column about children in dialogue for a lot of years. So in that way, yeah. But I don't know if there's anybody who buys everything just because I wrote it. I don't even read everything.
I certainly take note, believe me, whether I buy it or not. I'm like, oh, sweet. And I look for your articles in Access World. And I do read Access World, not all the time, but I read it a lot more when they had the app.
Good night, guys.
We're out of here.